We'll do now the fourth perek in Baba Kama, perek Dalet, and we're learning Lilu Nishmas Levi Yitzchok ben Reb Chaim Tzvi, a dedicated, successful shliach who was unfortunately taken on the prime of his life, and we're learning this to benefit his soul, Lezecher Nishmasoi, and Tehei Nishmasoi Tzru Reb Tzri Reb Chaim. We'll do Mishnah Aleph. Zog de Mishneh Shoyr Shenogach Arbo V'chamisho Shvorim Ze Achar Ze. We're talking about an ox which is a tam, and a tam only pays 50%, and also pays migufo, he pays from the body itself. In other words, he doesn't have to pay for money that he owns, only to the extent not to exceed the value of the actual animal. So in this case, you had a ox that gored arbo v'chamisha shvorim zachar ze, four or five oxen, one after the other, belonging to different people. The question is, how do you pay out the payments in this case? Dr. Bartenura, shoyr shenogach arbo v'chamisha, that the ox that gored four or five. So the Bartenura explains that du bikulam hoyotam de mishalem migufi, that in all, for all the damages, he was a tam de mishalem migufi, that he pays from the body. So the issue is, you're not to exceed the amount of money of the ox that did the goring. You're never going to pay more than that, because nobody has to pay from the owner doesn't have to pay, or nobody has to pay from their own. You only pay migufe. And here is what the issue is. And what's happening is here, as the Gemara explains, the Bartenura brings down. So the first person, let's say Reuven, has the ox, and he gores first Shimon's ox. And then after he gores Shimon's ox, Shimon goes and gets hold of the ox of the gorer, because you pay from the ox itself. So the ox of Reuven that gored was taken by Shimon, and Shimon is holding on to that ox to get the payment of his half a damage, because it's a tam. So say that Shimon's ox was worth $200. So Shimon is owed $100, and he takes the ox for its value to collect the $100 from it. Now the issue, the question is over here is, once he grabs hold of the ox, once Shimon took hold of the ox, so then Shimon becomes, according to the first opinion, Shimon becomes like responsible for that ox. So anything else the ox does, the ox continues to gore after Shimon held onto the ox, that's already Shimon's issue. He is the only one responsible, because he grabbed the ox to collect his payment from that ox. So the first Tana, the Tana in the Mishnah, holds that that is just his responsibility, Shimon's responsibility. Reuven, the original owner of the ox, so when Shimon grabbed the ox, he owed him $100, so Reuven has $100 in the ox. That's not going to change. It doesn't matter that later on, when Shimon grabbed this ox and then it gored Levi's ox, he's still, Reuven is out of the picture, because Reuven gets his hundred. Shimon, who grabbed Reuven's ox to collect his payment, becomes the owner. So then if that ox goes and gores Levi's ox, so then it's only Shimon's issue. And Shimon only has 100 in this ox, because the other 100 remains with Reuven, and Shimon will have to pay from his part 100, the chatzin ezek, and so on to the next one. Whoever holds on to the ox to collect the payment is the one responsible for there, and therefore he will end up losing. We'll see in a second the Bar Tanura. But Rabbi Meir, he disagrees. He says, no, I mean, this is Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. He says that even though Shimon, or the one who was damaged, grabbed hold of the ox, and the same thing later on, it's all the same scenario, still Reuven and Shimon are partners. And therefore, when they're going to pay to Levi, it's not going to be just out of Shimon's part of the ox, it's also going to be out of Reuven's part. Let's say, and there's a lot of words, let's look, put the words into the Mishnah and the way the Bar Tanura explains it. So again, Yishalim la'achrin shobohem. So the Mishnah says, he has to pay last one, the last Yishalim la'achrin shobohem, you pay the last one that was gored. The last one that was gored gets his half of damages. He gets his damages fully covered. And then we'll start going back. It's not going to affect the original owner. He gets his half, and it's never going to affect the original owner, because the last owner remains responsible for the damages. Let's look in the Bar Tanura. Yishalim la'acharon shobahem. So the ox that gored the 4 or 5, you have to pay the last one, meaning everybody else will lose out, even though your ox scored the first one, the second one, the third one. Only the last one will get paid, and the other ones will lose out. What is the case? So let's look at the Bar Tanura. The Gemara Muki Lemasnisin. The Gemara interprets the Mishnah. Kigoin she tofsei nizak l'shoir hamazik ligvis mimenu. The Nizak, we call him Shimon. Shimon was damaged by Reuven's ox. So in order to collect his damages from Reuven's ox that gored his ox, Shimon's ox, he grabbed hold of the ox. So Tovsi Nizak, L'Shoyer HaMazik, he grabbed the Nizak, L'Shoyer HaMazik, Ligvis Memenu, to collect from him. And when he grabs it, v'nasa olav shemer socher. So he becomes a shemer socher. He becomes the guard. He's now responsible for whatever happens, whatever the ox does. If the ox now that he grabbed hold of is going to gore another one, that's now his responsibility, because he's a shemer socher. He grabbed it to collect his payment. And now the watching of that ox is his responsibility. He is now the one that has to deal with the damages, not the Reuven, the original owner. He's no longer responsible, because this is Rabbi Meir's opinion. The first one is no longer responsible, because now the responsibility is Shimon, because Shimon collected, grabbed the hold of that ox to collect from it. And now that it goes out from Shimon, the ox that he was supposed to watch, because he grabbed it and he was supposed to collect from it. So now once it leaves his hand and it goes and damages the ox of Levi, so therefore Hanizek Harishon, Shimon, who was the first one damaged, he is the one that's Chayiv Benizokov, that has to pay the damages for Levi's ox, not Reuven, because it's no longer Reuven's responsibility. Lefikoch, and therefore, Ha'achrein mishtalim chetzi nizkoy misholim. So the latter one will get paid his complete half of nezek, complete, because Shimon cannot hold back any amount. I mean, if it's more than a chatzin nezek, he doesn't have to pay, as we'll see in a minute. But if half a nezek of Levi's ox equals the amount that Shimon had in the ox, which is 100 in our example, if it doesn't exceed that, then the Levi will get the entire damages and Shimon will get nothing. However, v'im yesh bay moiser, which means that once you can satisfy the damages that the ox did to Levi's ox, and Levi will get half of the damages for his ox from the part that Shimon owned in the ox, from the 100, and there is still leftover money in the ox for Shimon, then Shimon will keep that part. So the part Shimon is able to keep, the part that is leftovers, but the 100 that Reuven gets, that's not touched because he's no longer responsible. The only responsibility now is the part that Shimon has in the ox. If the ox only has enough to satisfy or less than Levi's half a damage, then you'll give him that everything goes to Levi. But if after satisfying Levi's half a damage, there is still money left, so still the original will get the 100, but he'll get the difference. So v'im yesh by moiser yachzir l'shalafonav taich de bar tenura. This is what he's saying. Im yesh by moiser b'nizokov, if there is extra in the damages, there is still left over in the damages of Shimon. He had damages, and there's still money left over from his damages. Yachzir l'shalafonav, so then he'll get that. That should go back. Moise ben Nizokov, if there's left over from the Nizokov of Levi, so once we satisfied Levi's Nizokov, there's still money left over. Yachzir l'shalafonav. And he gives the example. Keep going, for example, Shechatzi nizkoy shel harishoin hoyamona. So Shimon's half of damages of his ox was a money. His ox was valued 200, and half of the damages that he's entitled to when Reuven's ox scored him was 100. Vechatzi nezek ha'acharin. And how much was the damages, half of the damages of the Levi, the last one? We're saying about three people here, but the same thing is more people, but in three people. If his damages was Hoyo Chamishim, so therefore it was 50. And now the ox that is valued over here, how much is the ox value? What could we take from here? Vasher Shova Mosaim. And the ox is, so there's 200 to collect from here. So mitchilo kishenogach shoir ze shoirish la nizik harishon. The beginning, when Reuven's ox gored the ox of the first damage of Shimon, shechatzi nizkei mone, who has half an exam mone, so he owes him 100. This ox is supposed to pay Shimon 100. Hoyu le nizik b'shoir ze mone. So the Nizik had in this ox a money. And the owners had a money. Now that the Nizik grabbed hold of the ox, and while he was in charge, it gored. The Bailim, the owners, don't have to lose the money that they had. They're no longer responsible. Alein, because the guarding of this ox was not on the original owners. Now it's Shimon who grabbed it. Elal anizik shatofse, but on Shimon who grabbed it. Ukshehizik lisheni. And now that he hits the second Nizak, he hits Gor's Levi's ox, and now his Nezik is Chamishim. So that's called the Moiser. So the Ibid and Nizik Harishim in Amona Shalei Chamishim. So the first Nizik loses from his 100 that he originally had in the ox 50. He gives him his half of damages, which is 50. The left over after satisfying the damages of Levi, that goes back to him. The Bailin take their money. Originally, they get their part. The Im Yesh Boy Moiser, if there is still left over. And that's talking about this. We're talking about three. But what happens if four? The same thing would be by four. The last one gets his full damages from the one who has to guard the ox. And anything left over after satisfying the last one goes back to the one before him. And if there is still enough to satisfy one before, you go back. Ba'bailim. You go even beforehand. Meaning the last one is the one that gains. The last one that was gored, he gets his full half a nezek, and then you keep on giving. If it's left over, you give. If we're talking about a case of Yehuda, who's the fourth one, if Yehuda has extra, we'll give Levi. If Levi is satisfied, we'll go back to Shimon. That's the way you go. But Reb Shimon disagrees. Reb Shimon believes, even though he grabbed the ox, he remains a partner. The Bailin, original owner, and the Nizek Rishon, or always with the other one, everybody becomes a partner. You're not alone. When that ox gores, after you grabbed hold of him, then you are actually all partners. And therefore, when we're deducting, we're not going to keep, the first one is not going to get the whole thing. Nobody's going to get the whole thing. Everybody is a partnership, so it's not going to be the last one benefiting. But everybody from the who's part of it, let's look inside, will have to participate. Reb Shimon Oimer Chulu. Reb Shimon Sovar Shutfi Ninu, that they are partners. Habailim Vehanizak B'Shein Hamazik. Both the owner and the one who was hurt in this ox that Mazik. Ushneyem Ischayivim B'Nizokov, and they're both liable for the damages. And therefore, Ketzad, how so? So Sher Shav Mosayim, let's look now the case like this. So if you have a Sher Shav Mosayim, Shenogach Sher Shav Mosayim. So Reuven's ox was worth 200. He gores Shimon's ox, which was also worth 200. Ve'ein Hanevela Yofa Klum. And there is no value to the carcass that was killed. It's not worth anything. So therefore, Reuven owes Shimon 100 from this ox. Zen noitel money. So we go and we sell the ox, and Reuven, the owner, gets one money. The ox that gored, that Reuven's original ox, he's gonna get 100 zen noitel money. So now chozar min nogach shoyr achar shavu masayim. Now the Reuven's ox goes and gores Levi's ox, also worth 200. So the last one, Ha'acharein, Neitel Mone, because the two of them are both responsible now for the damages. So he's going to get his 100 from the ox, from Reuven's ox that gores, but now since Reuven and Shimon are both responsible, Reuven had 100 and Shimon had 100, and they're both responsible. He's going to get 100 Levi, 50 is going to come from Reuven, and 50 is going to come from Shimon, because they're partners, they're both of them. So, the last one will take 100. V'shalafonov, and the one that before him, which means Levi, the first Shimon, the first Nizak, and Reuven, the owners, zen neitel chamishim zuz, v'nezen neitel chamishim zuz. Each one will take 50 from the ox. Once you'll sell the ox, Reuven, the owner, will take 50, and Shimon, the first Nizak, will take 50. They both had 100 in it, and now they're partners in the damages. So Levi got 100, and Reuven will have to give 50, and Shimon will give 50. V'shalafon of zektrashi zen Nizak rishon. That's the first one damaged. That is the, we call him Shimon. Neitel chamishim zuz. When you sell the animal, he'll take 50. V'abaylim, and the owners will take chamishim zuz. The yesh l'nizak rishon boi hachetzi, because the first nizak has in this ox, that gored now Levi's ox, he owns half of the ox now, because he had to pay him chetzi, he's a partner in it. So he has a chatzi. Hilkoch mishalim chatzi tashlumei niskoi. That's why Shimon also has to pay half of the damages that the ox that he owns in partnership with Reuven, that he did damage, he has to pay a part. So he pays 50, Shimon pays 50, and Reuven pays 50. What happens now? Choza min nogach sheir achar shavim masayim. So now we got in a new partner here. Now Levi is also a partner in this whole situation now. The minute that he is grabs the ox, he's also a partner, because I'm not sure, he doesn't say that he grabbed it, but I'm assuming that it's also grabbed. Maybe it would be a partner even without it. But he grabbed it. So now, Chozar v'nogach shoyr achar shavim masayim. So you go another ox which is worth 100. So the other person will get the 100, and the previous people, so Levi had in the ox 100, right? So he will end up giving 50% of his part. Everybody will pay half of their part. So Levi that owned 100, the Yehuda is going to get 100, because he was gored. Half of his damage is 100. But how is it going to be paid out? So Levi, who owned in the ox 100, will give 50. And Reuven and Shimon, which owed 50 in the ox, each one will give 25. Let's look inside. Chozem enogach sheshov masai. The last one takes 100. Hachatzi mikol mi shahu. He takes half from whoever it is. He doesn't care who it is. Whoever owns the ox, he gets a half. So therefore, he will get 100. The megufe mishtalim. You pay from the body, so we don't care. You take from the ox. It's whoever owns it. V'nimtzo. Oy, so shalafon of the one that was before, the last one is Yehuda. The one that was before was Levi. Shahoya chetzi shaloi, half of what belonged to him, because of the money, his damages, he owned chetzi. Meshala mechelke chetzi mona, shenoit la'achre. He pays a half a mona that the other one takes. The other one takes 100. Ha'achre noitel mona, b'shalafon of ship, that's Levi, takes chamishim zuz, u'shnayim harishonim, and the first two ones, the Reuven and Shimon, shnayim harishonim, which is the nizik rishon v'habaylim, shehoyo lohem l'kol echad revia, each one had only a quarter, because as we said before, of the whole ox, this one had 50, and this one had 50. Before they gored, Reuven had 50, Shimon had 50, and Levi had 100. That was their partnership in this ox. So now that 50 would be, each one had a 50, which means each one had a quarter. Reuven and Shimon had a quarter. Levi had a half. And Mishalmin kol echad revi is shel niskoi. So the first two will pay a quarter. Each one will pay 25 Ruvain, 25 Shimon, 50 Levi, and that's 100. And Levi and Yehuda will get the 100. Shalom Gadach Rabbi Yisrael, Dinar Zov. A Dinar Zov, so the Batanora, Shem Esri V'chamisho, Dinri, 25 Dinri. It's a little complicated, but I think it's pretty. We'll learn now Mishnah Beis and Perik Dalet in Masechta Baba Kama. We're learning this Leilu Nishmas Levi Yitzchok, Rav Levi Yitzchok ben Chaim Tzvi, a young, dedicated, successful shliach who was taken in the prime of his life, and we're learning this to benefit his soul. Leilu Nishmosei Tei Nishmosei Tzrur B'Tzrur Chaim. Mishnah Beis. Zog the Mishnah, Shoir Shehu Muad Liminoi, Ve'enei Muad Lishe'enei Minoi. If the ox was a Muad, which means he gored three times to his species, meaning he gored three oxen, but he never gored three other Enei Minoi, non-oxen, he didn't gore. In order for him to become a Mu'ad, he has to do the same thing. It has to be the same thing doing three times, being that he only gored oxen before, he would not, even though he did it three times, and if he gored another ox, he would have to pay a full nezek, because that would be the third or fourth time that he's doing it for his oxen. But since he gored something which was Enei Minoi, it wasn't his kind, so therefore he's not going to be a Mu'ad, and he's not going to have to pay a Nezek Sholem, only a Chatzin Nezek. Basically, if he did it three times, he has to do it three times exactly the same. If there is some reason to say, well, he gores oxen but doesn't gore, and the owner didn't know that, and he didn't have to watch him, he'll only pay a half a nezek. Mu'ad le'odom ve'enei mu'ad l'she'enei minoi. Ve'enei mu'ad la'behema. So what happens if he did three times gore a person? And so if he would gore another person, he would be considered a mu'ad because he's done it three times already. But we're not going to make him pay a nezek sholem if the fourth time he went and gores a behema. I mean, someone might argue if the ox even gores people, which is a stronger category, for sure he can gore a behema. We say no. Maybe this ox only has this for people, but he would not be considered a mu'ad for animals, and he would not have to pay a nezek sholem for the animal, even though it's his fourth goring, but it's not the fourth goring for the behema, only for people that he gored before, he would not pay a nezek sholem. The same thing is mu'ad laketanim. If he is a mu'ad for minors, which means this ox gores small calves, and that's somehow more likely for the an ox to smaller animals, he may easily gore, but ve'enei mu'ad la'gadoilim, he does not become a mu'ad if the fourth time, let's say he did three times, he gored small oxen, and then he goes and calves, and then he goes and gores a big ox, he's not a mu'ad because he hasn't done three times big one, only katanim, and a mu'ad le-katanim does not become a mu'ad for gedolim, for larger animals. Mu'ad le-katanim, says the Bartanura, la-golim, that's kas. Now, basically, es shehu mu'ad loy, for the one who is a mu'ad, mishalim nezek sholim, he pays a full nezek, ve'ez she'enei mu'ad loy, but the one who is not a mu'at for is only mishalim chatzi nezek. He'd only pay half of the damages because he was not expected to do that. He's not been established as a mu'at, and therefore you pay chatzi nezek. Amru lifnei Rabbi Yehuda. So the students asked Rabbi Yehuda. Amru lifnei Rabbi Yehuda traich the bar tenura sholu talmidov mimenu. The students asked of Rabbi Yehuda, what would be the din if the animal had a shahoyo mu'ad la shabosis? Three Shabboses he gored. And then the fourth time he gores on a weekday. Is he considered to be a mu'ad? That's the fourth time. What difference does it make? Does the time of the week, that is Shabbos or the weekday, make a difference in making a mu'ad? So they asked him and he said yes. If three times he gored was a Shabbos, and we have to find a reason why he might gore on Shabbos and not on the weekday. So we know that leman yonuach shorcha v'chamerecha, an ox is also doesn't work on Shabbos. That would be a reason for an ox to gore, because he's not busy. And another reason would be maybe people are dressed on Shabbos with Shabbos clothing, so that might have incited the ox. So therefore, if he was a mu'ad for three Shabboses, he would not be a mu'ad for a weekday. Zog de bar tenura, hare shahoyo mu'ad l'shabosis, mipnei shu botl mimalacha. Because the ox is not, he is free and not doing any work, v'dayta zocha olof, so his mind is arrogant on him. He's like, feels he can do whatever he wants. He's not busy doing any work. Maybe that's why he gores. So it wasn't expected for the ox to go on a weekday in which he's working, which is busy. Inami, another reason why he would gore on a Shabbos, why there would be a idea. Lefi sheroya bnei odom b'malbushim noyim shel Shabbos, since he sees people are wearing nice garments for Shabbos, chashuvim be'einov nikorim nochrim, he considers them to be strangers, not peoples that he is acquainted. Ve'einam akirim, he doesn't recognize them. So maybe he gores people that he doesn't recognize. So then when he went and gored one of those people during a weekday, we say we didn't expect that because he only gored on Shabbos. So Rabbi Yehuda answered his students that if the three times of the goring took place on a Shabbos, then he would not be a mu'ad for the weekday. Ve'einay mu'ad l'choyl. That's what they were asking him. But he has not gored three times in the weekday. So what is the halacha? Is he mu'ad for the choyl or not? Amar lohem la Shabbos is mishalim nezek sholim. For the Shabbos says he will pay a full damage because he's a mu'ad. He gored three times on Shabbos. So if the fourth time he will go on Shabbos, he will pay a full nezek, a full damages. But limaisachoil mishalom chatzin nezek. But for the weekday, he will only pay half of the damages because he has not been doing it. He hasn't done it three times in the weekday. So now,
here he said mu'ad l'ktan, not mu'ad l'gdailim.
What? Yeah.
He said mu'ad l'gdailim, mu'ad l'ktanim.
Looks like yes, because it's a kol shekein. See, you have to find in each case a reason why that would be different for the ox, as the Bartanura explains with regards to Shabbos. We can't just say, just because it happened, let's say he gored three people on a Sunday. We're not going to say if he gores the fourth time on a Monday, he's not a mu'ad, because there is no idea to attribute what's about Sunday that he would gore. So we have to find a svara. So a godel with a cotton, if he was a cotton, it's easier to gore. So that's more likely for him to gore. He may have gore a cotton, but not a godel. Now, emosai hutom. So if an ox has become a muad, how does he become back a tam? Can you become back a tam after becoming a muad? So the Mishnah says, I'm not sure if this was also asked by Rabbi Yehuda, this was just the Mishnah saying it. Probably it looks like Rabbi Yehuda, maybe they were asking him this question. So he says, Mishayachzer bo shloisha yimei shabosis, that he has to go by three Shabbos, that he will not gore, and then he would not be a muad anymore, which means the same principle. If he didn't gore 3 weekdays, there were oxen there, he didn't gore, that wouldn't make him back into a tam. But if 3 Shabbos go by, that will make him back into a tam. Says the Bartanura, Mishiyachzer b'shloshi yimei shabosis, la'achar shehu ad l'shabosis, after he was warned 3 times, became a muad for Shabbos, haviru l'fon of shvarim b'shol shabosis, then they passed in front of him oxen during 3 Shabboses, v'loi nogach, and he didn't gore them, chozar l'tamusei, and then he goes back and becomes a tam. And therefore, v'mchozar v'nogach, and then if he goes back and gores again, eino mishalim elochatzi nezek, he would only pay half a damage because he's back to a tam. He'd have to do again 3 times, either 3 Shabbosis. If he, l'moshel, it seems from the Mishnah, if, for example, he gored 1 Shabbos and 2 other weekdays, then it's nothing about Shabbos, then it would still be a muad. It's only if the 3 times take place on Shabbos, which is not a muad. What happens if he gored 2 Shabboses and 1 weekday? We have to see exactly, specifically, you can say, well, it's not something special about Shabbos because he gored in the weekday as well. Or maybe 2 out of the 3 times was on Shabbos. So that needs to be looked in further, but we'll continue weiter. Zok de Mishnah Gimel. Now there are certain, this is really a problematic Mishnah to explain in modern times. It basically says that an ox that gores either Hegdish or a non-Jewish ox, he would be exempt. Zog de Mishnah, Shoir shel Yisroel, shenogach shoir shel Hegdish. If a ox belonging to a Jewish person gores an ox that belongs to Hegdish, or the same way, the other way around, Vishal Hegdish and Nogach L'Shoil Shei Yisrael, or an ox which belongs to Hegdish, let's say somebody donated to Bedek HaBayis, or this would be for a korban, but if the Hegdish woes and gores an ox of another Jew, so the laws of goring and payments, he'll be potter, he'll be exempt. You're not, these laws of obligations of the damages of the ox does not apply to Hegdish. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, Ki yigach ish shoir re'ehu. It says that it has to be the ox of a friend, meaning another Jew. And we learn out, V'loi shoir shel Hegdish, but not a ox of Hegdish. And for that same reason, we also learn, so these laws of goring, the av nizikin of shoir, does not apply to Hegdish. Not if you gore Hegdish, and not if Hegdish's ox gores you, because either way, it's not the re'eu. What happens, shoir shel Yisroel shenogach l'shoir shel nochri? A Jewish-owned ox that gores an ox that belongs to a non-Jew, potter, he's potter. Now, this is a very interesting halacha. So Why is he potter? So it almost seems like the pasuk says shoreihu, but that already is used lechayre loyshar shel hegdish. So how do we say shenach potter? The Gemara brings here a pasuk in Chabak Bakuk. The Bartanuris says shor shel yisrael shenogach shor shel nochri potter. The ksiv it says in Chabakuk Peri Gimel omad vayimoyded aretz ro'o vayatir goyim. Ro means he stood and he measured the land, and when Hashem saw, he permitted vayater goyim, the money, the damages for the goyim. It says like this: what did Hashem see? Ro. What did he see? Ro sheva mitzvah shenitztavu b'nei Noach. He saw the seven command that the Noachites were commanded. And kivon sheloi kimo isum, since they did not fulfill them. Omad vayater goyim, omad vihitir memoinam li Yisrael. So he stood up and he permitted their money to the Yidden, so that if the Yid's ox goes and gores the goyish ox, you don't have to pay damages. Vayimer, there's also another pasuk in Dvarim Lamed Gimel. The Bartanura brings down, it says, Hoifia Meharporon. Harporon was when Hashem went to give the Torah to all the nations. Hoifia means he revealed, he uncovered. Uncovered means he made it sort of hefker that the Yid doesn't have to pay it. Gilom Memoinom Shel Ovid Kirchovim. Hoifia means he revealed the money of the idol worshippers, Vihitirom. And he permitted them. That happened mehar poron, misho shesova v'hichziras atoyra lehoivit kichovim. That is from the time that Hashem circled and tried to give the Torah to the idol worship. They didn't accept it. That was har poron, and therefore ifia. So the first one talks specifically about the sheva mitzvahs b'nei noyach that they didn't fulfill. This, it talks about the fact that they didn't want to accept the Torah. I guess what it really means is the Torah law cannot, by right, a person, why should I pay for my ox? I didn't know. Maybe logically, if not for the Torah saying that you have to pay for it, I did what I can, and maybe I shouldn't pay for it. So a Yid that accepted the Torah, clearly, huh?
The Rambam writes clearly that they themselves are not mechayiv. He's the Rambam writes, "Lefish ein anochru mechayiv v'nesad v'al be'hamdish yizig." Since the goyim themselves, they're not mechayiv a person when his animal damages.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So this is a chiddush. Okay. So baruch kavant. You know. So this is a chiddush bechlal. An ox is a Jewish law, is a Torah law, and they don't apply, but we will apply it, the goy, to a yid. The next halacha is shel nochri, shel nogach l'sher shel Yisrael, a non-Jewish ox that gores a Jewish ox. Over there, we don't even have a distinction between tam, bein muad, shalom nezek sholem, whether it's a tam or a muad pays a complete nezek. Now here, the logic would be similar. You can't say the logic that the Rambam that you used before, because b'dineihem, I don't know. You say that b'dineihem they're potter totally. No, nochri b'dineihem is potter totally. But in here, the Torah is mechayiv for a yid. We have to deal by the Torah law. But this logical, the Torah gives a break for a yid that follows the Torah, but a goy that doesn't follow the Torah. Bein tam bein muad shalom nezek sholem. Yeah, what were you saying, Moti?
No. It's another class. I'll compone him. It's interesting that he's not Makadi brings that the Meiri says that this knas is only for a nations that Taka are not Noyig Benimusi. But he says, the Meiri says, Kosha Shadow Mitzis Biadam, Dina Matzlenu Kidineno Atzlam, Beinais and Panalutim Basman. In other words, this is a knas, a special knas, because, like we said, that David Shah saw they're being fighters. So they got a knas that they lose.
Okay, very good. We'll do Mishnah Dalet in Perik Dalet. in Masechta Baba Kama, and we're learning Leilu Nishmas Levi Yitzchok ben Rav Chaim Tzvi Leilu Nishmosoi Tei Nishmosoi Tzruro B'Tzrei Rechaim. Zog de Mishneh Dalad Shoir Shel Pikeach, the ox of an open one. An open one means a person who is whose mind is there, meaning that he is mentally capable. That's called a pikeach. So if the ox of one who is basically normal, shenogach shoir shel chere shoitavakotn, who gores the ox of a chedesh, means one who is mute and can't hear, that is also considered a mental defect, that he's not fully there. And a shoite means a person who is a fool, who is not also mentally there. And the cotton, a minor who is not yet obligated, is not responsible, period. So if the normal owner's ox will gore any of these who are mentally challenged and they are not responsible if they gore, if their ox gores, but if your ox of a pikeach will gore a shoyer shel chere shoyte v'kotten, you'll be chayiv, you'll be responsible, just because they are not mentally fit doesn't exempt the owner from the, who is normal, from his ox, watching his ox and not doing damage to these people's, to their ox that they own, the Cheresh Shoyte V'Kotten. But on the other hand, V'Shel Cheresh Shoyte V'Kotten Shenogach Shoyer Shel Pikeach, if the ox belongs to a Cheresh or a Shoyte or a minor, to the dumb mute and the shoyte and the minor who are not responsible, who shenogach sher shel pikeach, who gores the ox of the normal one, potter, they will be exempt. Now this needs to be qualified, because the Matan Ura will explain. Normally, if you have people who are not mentally able to take care of themselves, Beis Din sets up for them an apotropos, a caretaker, and basically the caretaker is responsible for the finances as well. So why do we say that they won't pay for damages their ox does? They should have the caretaker take care of the oxen if they can't take care of it itself. And if it does damage, they should pay. So actually, the Matan Ura says this is true if the ox is a mu'ed. But for an ox which is a tam, who only pays migufoy, which means he pays from the metaltalin, because the ox is a metaltalin, it's a movable object, it's not land, it's not real estate. Real estate you collect from yisoymim via the apotropos, via the caretaker, you would pay for it. But here we're talking about a tam. And since it's megufa, it's metaltalin. Metaltalin, which once you take him away, it's gone forever. There's no, you can't challenge it, and it's because it disappears, as opposed to real estate. The din is, we learned in the previous Mishnah, that you are not going to collect from the metaltalin of the cheresh shoyte v'kotten. So Matan Ura explains this. V'shel cheresh shoyte v'kotten shenogach shoyer shel pikeach. I apologize, my speaker was off, so if anybody said anything, I didn't hear it. I just put it on. Is everybody okay? Okay. What happens is so the Matan Ura says, "She'ein ma'midim apatrupas." We don't set up an apatrupas l'tam, for a tam, for the first three times, Ligvois megufoi, to collect from the body, because the collection is from the ox itself, from the ox that gore. The metaltlihu, because that is metaltlin movables. Vamrin on the perik kamo on daf yudalad, we say in the first perik. In the Gemara, the Mishnah is on daf yudalad. Over there, the Mishnah lists various different things, and one of the things that it lists over there is shavei kesef. And we explain in the Gemara what does it mean with shavei kesef. Melamed she'ein beisdin nizkokin ela l'nechosim she'yesh lahen achrayis. Beisdin will not go and take assets of the Yisoimim, only assets that have responsibility, which means they are real estate and they can be responsible for other things. Those are the items that Beis Din will collect when you have to pay with real estate. And that would be by a mu'ad, which you pay min ha'aliyah, you pay whatever you have to pay. And v'ukimna b'yasmi, over there the Gemara interprets that when do we say that we only take nechosim sheyesh la machrayis, the Gemara says by yisoyim. So basically this din, that when you collect metaltalin, you're not going to collect from yisoyim. And since atam is collects metaltalin because you take it from the body of the ox itself, which is metaltalin, and therefore you're not going to collect from the cheresh ha'itavikot. Now, the Mishnah gives the other case, but what happens, shoyer shel cheresh ha'itavikot shenogach? The ox of the cheresh ha'itavikot, who has already gored, and he's gored three times, and he is become a mu'ed, so ba'midin lohem apatrupus v'chulu. Then we put up a caretaker who will then pay the damages from the house. That will be from the nechosim sheyesh la machrayis. That will be taken from the aliyah, from the home. So therefore, you would set up for them a caretaker, an apotropos. Mamid lam apotropos uchulu. So the Batnur explains, im hurzeku nagechonim, if they have been established as gorers, these oxen of the cheresh ha'itavikotin, then mamidim lohem apatrupas, Beis Din will set up for them a caretaker. V'loy l'shalim chatzi nezek, not to pay a half a nezek, because a half a nezek you pay megufa, you would not pay from them. Elu l'shavye mu'ad, but to make them an established gorer, a mu'ad, the chahodar nogach, that if he will go and gore again, then mishalim min ha'aliyah, then he will pay from the aliyah, mean from his home. That's already from nechosim sheyesh lahem achrayis. V'yigbu hanezek mekarka shel yisoyimim. So then they will collect the people that were gored by the cheresh ha'itavikotin's ox. They will collect the damages from the property that the Yisraelim owns. And that we say, they can only shove a kesef if you can't collect from them. But karka you do. Umeidin lohen bifnei apotropos. But you know, you have to warn the owner of the ox that his ox has been goring. But how are you going to warn the cheresh ha'itavikotin aren't considered smart enough in order for them to be warned. In other words, not considered before of. Hey, you have to testify in front of the owner. Who would be olav in the owner? How is? But they are not considered fully there. So he says, "Umeidin lohem bifnei apotropos." You testify for the Yisoimim in front of the caretaker, and therefore that's considered like doing it for the apotropos. Okay, so now we've established the did it three times and the ox of the cheresh ha'itavikot. And now there is a change of the status. What happens, nispakach ha-chedesh, the chedesh who was dumb and mute, he couldn't talk and he couldn't hear, opened up, he became normal again, he can speak and hear. Or nishtapo ha-shoite, or the fool became clear, became normal. And the higdil ha-kotn, and the minor has grown up. What's the status of the ox now? He became a mu'ed at the time that they were chedesh, shoyte, v'kotten, but now it changed and they became normal. If the ox will gore now, would he pay a nezek sholem? So the Mishnah says no. Chozar l'tamusa, according to Rav Meir, no. That he goes back to become a tam. If it comes back a tam, it start all over again. You have to warn him another three times in this new condition. And the Bartanura explains, the Kosovar Muet Sheyotso Mirshus Ba'olov V'nichnes Lirshus Ba'ilim Achedim. A Muet, an ox who is already established as a gorer, who has left the owner's right, in other words, in this case, the apotropos was the one that was taking care. He was the caretaker. Now he's left the owners of the ox and it goes into new ownership because now the chedesh shoyte v'kotn, who are already capable, they take over. So it's a new domain. Choyzer l'tamusei. Then he goes back and becomes the dan, back to become a gatam. Dirshus meshuna. Mishana is din hasrosi. The fact that there is a change of domain, Rishus Mishuna, a change of domain, that changes the laws of warning. You have to start warning all over again. Divrei Rav Meir, that's the opinion of Meir. Rabbi Yisrael, no, harehu b'chaskosi, he disagrees. He remains in his established, if he was a mu'ed before, he remains a mu'ed, and we don't change it just because there's new ownership. He still remains a mu'ad. What happened? Shoyr ha'itz todin. This is an ox who has been trained to gore, a fighting ox. It's a todin that's in a stadium. They used to have entertainment over there. And the ox was used as a gorer. So we say that shoyr ha'itz todin. And the halacha is that if an ox...
Well, just to be clear, okay, so there's another machlekes here that whether you sell up the ox, is that a...
Where?
Because the Bartanura said, Chayzer l'tamusei, because some of the more judges should follow Nechsa should follow Chayzer l'tamusei. So in the same machlekes between a mayor and a goyse, is going to be any time you sell ox?
I'm not following. Say it again, please.
Are they going to argue any time that a person sells an ox? Because according to the Bartanura, the reason is that the Yosi holds...
It seems that it'll be all...
Because it changes their shoes.
So you're asking, is Rav Yosi's reason, because that's not really considered change and rishus, and when he says harihu b'cheskosi, what he means to say is he's still the same because it's in the same rishus, it never really changed,
right?
Or he's saying b'cheskosi that even there was a full change, and if you sold the ox, and then still b'cheskosi. So I would say that I was going to say that it's mashma from the Pasha de Loshen, harehu b'cheskosei, not that it's not because of this unique situation. Just it remains where it is. So according to what you're explaining now from the Gemara, that the same thing is true anytime you would sell an ox. A change of rishus does not change the status of the ox. Okay, very good.
According to the Mayor, it will.
So that's, yeah, I understand. Yeah, that's machlokes that Meir Rabbi Yosef is not unique to a apotropos and yisraimim, but it's just a general halacha whenever a rishus is changed, whether the status of the ox changes also with it, if he's become a mu'ud to become back a tam. Okay? I'm also assuming that it's probably obvious what happens an ox that became a tam, and then you change the rishus, he won't become back a mu'ud. You know, let's say he saw three times, as we learned before, and we're not going to say he's going to become back a mu'ud. That's probably a kal v'chomer, right? Anyways, if it's a trained ox to go ahead and gore, like this we'll learn in the next Mishnah, that an ox that gores and kills a person, and we will learn that it makes no difference with regards to killing of the ox, that whether the ox is a tam or the ox is a mu'ud, we'll see in the next Mishnah, you would still kill the ox, as the Pasuk says. But if it's a shoyr ha'itz todin, shemiyuchat says the Bartanura, l'nigiches u'malamdim ha'yisrael l'kach, if he's designed for goring, and this is how they train him, so that's not called something that he would be responsible, shenemar, because the Pasuk says, shemesh chof ala Pasuk chof ches, ki yigach, that means on its own. That's what he chose us to do. And not that other people sort of sicked him or trained him to go ahead and go. And that would not qualify. Let's do a quickly Mishnah. Hey?
First of all, I just want to say that I see that it wasn't so positive. Because the Rambam is not so positive that the Mahalakis and will be, is it adopted by Stapa? Or is it
any time? So basically that's a debate.
That debate, the Rambam goes Makadi Makadi. Generally, if you're going to sell it, it will become Chayzel Tabusai. But if the Chayzel came Shtabla, then it's going to be...
So it depends in all the different categories. I mean, in a sense, this makes a little bit more reasoning to that, because...
Yeah.
That's why the Mishnah chooses to give the halacha in this case. Otherwise, if it's really true across the board, why is the Mishnah giving this halacha? It's talking about a chereshet v'kotn already, maybe that's why. But otherwise, the example should be selling an ox or whatever. You know, that would be a more to say if it's not unique to this. Let's see, can we try to do Mishnah? Hey, let's do quickly, 5 minutes.
It's a little busy in my house, but... I think I'm going to go off.
Okay, if we're done, so we're done. Okay, we're done for today, and Mr. Shem will continue tomorrow. Sikoya. Mishnah Vav in Perek Dalet in Baba Kama, and this is learned Leilu Nishmas Levi Yitzchok Ben Reb Chaim Tzvi to benefit his neshama Tehei Nishmas Yitzrura B'Tzrei Rachaim. Says the Mishnah Vav. Shoir shahoya, no, sorry, Mishnah Hey, that's what we're up to. Shoir shenogach esa odom vomes. An ox gores a person and the person dies. What happened to Mati? I don't know. An ox gores a person and the person dies. There's two things that happen when an ox kills a person. One is that the ox needs to be put to death. And number two, there is a payment of koifer, which the owners have to pay a monetary payment for the death that the ox caused. Zog the Mishnah. So, shoyr shenogach ha'sa'odom v'meis, if he gored the person and made. So, for the payments, is mu'ed mishalim koifer. That if he was a mu'ed, he did it three times already, then he'll have to pay the monetary payment, the koifer. The misa, you'll pay either way, but a mu'ed will pay koifer, the tom potur mina koifer, but a tam, the first three times, is exempt from koifer. Zok de bartanura, mu'ed mishalim koifer. So the question becomes, how could he become a mu'ed? A mu'ud means that he killed three people. If every time after he kills, you're supposed to put the animal to death, so how was the animal able to kill three times? He was already, after the first time that he killed somebody, the animal was put to death. So how does that work? Zog the Rashi, zog the Bartanura like this. the Bekama the Nogach Katlinale, even though that in the first one that he gored, we already killed the ox, how could he kill another ox? Ashkechin on Mu'ed, we can find the Mu'ed, Kigoyin Shahorak Shloisha Nochrim. Let's say he killed three Nochrim, three Goyim. By a Goyim, the din is not that you kill the ox, so he became a Mu'ed by killing three Goyim. Inami, or he became a Mu'ed, Shahorak Shloisha Yisrael Trefa. He killed three Yidden that can't live. Trefa means a yid, a person that can't live for 12 months is called a trefa. And a trefa lekatlinale. So if the ox killed a trefa, we don't kill him, but he's still going to become a mu'ed for killing three times. Inami, or another possibility, gives you three possibilities to become a mu'ed. The kotel that he killed, the ox, v'orek la'agamo, he ran away to the swamp. They couldn't catch him, la'achar shehi duboy, after they warned him. And he did so three times. So anyways, we'll find a scenario where he kind of becomes a mu'ed. So if he's a mu'ed, he pays the koifer. The tam, but a tam is potur min ha-koifer, is exempt from koifer. The payment of koifer for the ox that killed the person, if he is a mu'ed, you pay, and if you're a tam, you don't pay. But v'zeh chayov imisa. Whether the ox was a tam that killed a person, or the ox was a mu'ed, you would still be chayov misa. The ox would be chayov misa. V'chein, and the same thing halacha is true, ba'bein v'chein bebas, talking about a young boy and a young girl. If they were gored and they were killed, so then you would have to put the ox to death. You don't say, well, he killed a minor, still v'chein bebas v'chein beben. So tenuk v'tenoikis, a young boy, or tenoikis, a young girl, chayiv aleim skila v'koifer k'gedoilim, you'd still be liable for both, for the skila, for the ox being stoned, and also koifer, the monetary payment that you have to pay, just as if you killed kigdoilim, just like by its adult. What happens if the ox kills a slave or a maid servant? Nogacht, so the owner, when he owes the ox, his ox goes and he kills a slave or a maid servant. So the Torah has designated noisim shloshim sloyim, that you have to pay 30 sloim. That's a standard. It doesn't matter the value of the eved or the amma, whatever the real value is. The Torah set an amount of 30 sloim. Bein shohu yafe moneh. Whether he was all worth 100. So you're getting a bargain, basically. You're not paying the value of the eved or the amma that you killed because he was worth 100. They're only giving him 30. Or whether he was worth only one dinar, and here you're giving him 30 sloim, that's much more than the value. Doesn't matter. The Torah said, for killing an eved or killing an ova, you pay 30 sloim. Mishnah Vav. Zog the Mishnah, shoir shohoyo mischachich bakoisal. The ox was rubbing against the wall. V'nofal al adam. And then the wall fell on a person and he killed the person. You only give death to the animal if he does it intentionally. If the animal rubbed against the wall and unintentionally the wall fell down from the weight of the ox, that's not unintentional. In that case, you don't put the ox to death. However, if the ox was a mu'ed, we said before a mu'ed pays koifer. So the mu'ed chayv koifer. If he did three times, like he was rubbing against the wall and he killed already three people that way, so then you would have to pay the koifer. Death to the ox only comes if he does it intentionally. Kaifer, if he's a mood, he would have to pay. Let's look at the Bartanur. We'll explain this. Shoyer shoy mischache bekoisu v'chulu poter min hamisa. If the ox was rubbing at the wall, then the exemption is misa. You don't pay misa. You don't kill the ox if he didn't intend to kill, although he killed it, and although he may have done it more than three times. But it's not an intentional killing, so then you are not going to give the death penalty to the ox. But if he was a mu'ed, by a mu'ed, we said before, you pay koifer. How does he become a mu'ed? Kegoin, so you mu'ed li schachich b'kasolim u'lahapilom al b'nei odom. He became a mu'ed to rub in the walls and to fall it on the people. It's interesting, the language of the Bartanura, you see, what happens if he's a mu'ed just to mischach b'kasolim? That wouldn't make him a mu'ed. Does the ox know who's behind the wall, if it's a person or an ox over there? But the Bartanura writes clearly, it has to be lischach b'kasolim, u'lahapilom al b'nei odom. It's not intentional though, because if it was intentional, then he would get misa. But he's saying, if he did it three times, v'nischachich v'koysel l'hana osi, and now he's been doing it for three times, and now he rubbed himself against the wall for his pleasure, enjoys it, v'yipiloy al ha'odom v'meis, and he threw the wall down on the person dies. Hashoir potur min ha'misa, the ox is exempt from misa. But the Bailim will have to pay the koifer because he's a mu'ed. And we learned in the previous Mishnah that a mu'ed pays the koifer. The reason hashoir potur min ha'misa, why is he exempt from misa? Because the pasuk says in Shmos Chof Aleph, hashoir yisokel v'gamba olav yumos. The ox gets stoned and the owners pay. Yumos here means they pay. They pay the koifer. But there's an equation of the ox and the owners over here. Kimisas abaylim kach misas asher. Just like you would kill the owners, in order to kill the owners, they have to want to do it intentionally. Kach misas asher. The owners only get the death penalty if it was intentional. Amazing. So we are saying asher yisokel v'gambol of yumos, that the death of the baylim has to be the same as the death of the ox. Ma bailim ein chayovim im horgu es hanefesh ad sheyihargu bekavone. Just like the owners would not be liable for a person's death if they killed somebody, it has to be intentional. If on it, you go golus, other things, but you don't kill them for unintentional. Kein hakach hasheyre nechayiv ad sheyihargu bekavone. An ox, you're not chayiv. The ox is not chayiv misa for killing a person unless he does it intentional. That's the equation. Asher yisok of a gambol yumas. But because he's a mu'ed, v'abayli mishalmin nesa koifer. The owners will pay the koifer. Tiksiv, and that would not get the exemption of misa, because the pasuk says im koifer yushas olav. So yechol lifte koifer yushas olav. What does it mean if my im koifer? If koifer, le rabbis ha'hirek shaloi bekavona lechiv koifer. That is coming to include if a person, if the ox kills unintentionally, like in this case, he was rubbing to his enjoyment against the wall and it falls and kills the person, he's still going to be chayiv koifer. Le rabbis ha'hirek shaloi bekavona lechiv koifer. So basically, even though the ox will be exempt from misa if he kills a person unintentionally, but still koifer he'd have to pay, provided that he's a mu'ed. A tam doesn't pay koifer, as we learned in the previous mission. What happens, nishale niskaven lahariges habehema v'horages ha'odom, if b'chlal he wanted to kill an animal is put and he ended up killing a person, or lanochri, or he wanted to kill a goy, v'horag ben Yisrael, he ended up killing a yid, or lanefolim, babies that are not going to live, but v'horag ben kayoma, and then he ended up killing a
lasting, somebody who will be living. So in that case, he is potter. Now, he's potter by the Adam. It seems like he's potter here, but Bartner doesn't say anything. So it seems like he'll be potter from everything because, because this is Shalei B'Kavona. You still pay Koifer from him. Koifer, we learned that. This potter is the same potter. It's potter from Misa. But Koifer, he'd have to pay L'chayra, because if we learn from him Koifer, even Shalei B'Kavona. Or, in this case, it's not Shalei B'Kavona. In this case, he intended to kill somebody who would be free. So it's also, he killed the person Shalei B'Kavona. I think, Mati, what do you think? I think that it means that also that he's going to be Chayv Koifer. And what it means, potter, means only from Misa, just like in the previous case. Because even though the previous case he didn't intend to kill at all, but here he intended to kill and killed the person. This is even more, because in that case he had no covenant to kill at all. Here he wanted to kill a potter, but he killed a chayivdik person. So, l'chayre koifer will be chayiv. Anyways, and the ptur that we're talking about here is he's going to be potter from Misa. Correct, Moti?
My son is crying, but the Kahati learns like you.
That what? That is both in both cases, right?
But the Kahati learns like you said, that the tour is all on the animal, but the Kaifer for the owners is going to be, he seems to say it's all the cases. In other words, the tour, when he intended to kill.
Okay, let's continue Mishnah Zion. So the Mishnah Shoir Ha Isha. The ox of a woman is not exempt just because she's a woman. The ox will get killed if it killed a person. Shoir ha-yisoymim, the ox of orphans, which is a case where they don't even have any caretakers, so there's no responsible person there. And if it killed, it'll still be chayiv. Shoir ha-apatrupas. This is a caretaker for the Yisoymim. It's the ox of the Yisoymim, but he is in charge, as Bartanur explains. Ha-shoir shel Yisoymim hu, elosha al-apatrupas l'shoimre. It belongs to the Yisoymim, but the apatrupas needs to guard him. That wouldn't be a reason to exempt the ox from death. And shoir hamidbar, meaning a ox that is hanging around, has no owner. And shoir hahegdesh, an ox that belongs to hegdesh. Somebody consecrated the ox in the gourd. Or shoir hager shemei slavein lo yorshim, an ox that belonged to a convert that died and nobody inherited. So it's also, these are all hefkedik oxen. It doesn't matter, all these will be chayiv misa. And Batanur explained, the shiva shoir ksuvim beparsha b'negei chodom. By goring a person, there's seven times shoir, chad legufei, one for just telling you an ox gets misa, v'shisha l'shiva shvarim alolu, another six times shoir is for these six oxen, shoir isha, shoir yisem, shoir petrusha, misa, shoir agerva. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says, Shoir HaMidbar and Shoir HaEgda, Shoir HaGer Shemeis. These are ownerless. They don't really have an owner. Isha, Yisoymim, Apatrupas, they have an owner. But Midbar has no owners. There's no owner there. Shoir HaHegdash has no owner. I mean, Hegdash, there's no real person owner. And Shoir HaGer Shemeis is also, they will be Peturim and Amisa. The Torah says that you have to warn him in front of the owners. There has to be an owner. These three oxen have no owner. Peturim and Amisa. Zog the Rabbar to Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shere Hegda, Shere Ager, Shemez, Ven Lo Yershim, Peturim and Amisa. And he adds, Afilu Nogach, even they had an owner when they gored, Vachka Chidish. And then he consecrates it. So now it doesn't have, that ox doesn't have an owner. It has Hegdish an owner. Or Nogach Vachkach Mesa Ger. When he gored, the ger was alive, so he had an owner, but then he died. Rabbi Yehuda would still say that you're potter. And the reason by all this was the reason of Shein Lambolim. The Torah says, there has to be Bailam over there. Make him a mood in front of the Bailam, but there's no Bailam over there. Therefore, in all these cases, he would be potter. And we're learning Mishnah Ches in Perikal of Bava Kama, and we're learning it Leilu Nishmas Levi Yitzchok ben Reb Chaim Tzvi to benefit his soul. Tehein Nishmas Yitzrura B'Tzvi Rachaim. Zog the Mishnah Ches. Shoir Shehu Yoytze Lehisokel. So an ox, he killed a person, and we said before that an ox that gores a person would be stoned. So the person thinks to himself, might as well consecrate, not going to benefit from the ox. Let me make it Hekdesh. Let it be tzedakah, a gift to Hekdesh. So the din is that if it's going throughout to be stoned, the Yigdishoy Be'olov, and its owners consecrated it, Einoy Mugdosh, that it's not become Kaddish. It's not really his anymore, since it is Osur Bahanoah, and once it's Osur Bahanoah, he doesn't have the right to be Magdish. And another thing is, the person thinks at least he can eat the meat later on, because he'll shecht it. If they're going to stone the ox, so it's going to be useless. They're going to kill the ox. So he figures that he might shecht it first, so at least it'll be kosher, eat the meat. No, we say shchote basori osur. Even if he shechts it, the meat is prohibited. And Bartanur explains, shchote osur, osur ba'achila, it is prohibited to be eaten. Why? The Ksiv, the Pasik says, Ishmael Chof Aleph, sokel yisokel hashoir v'lo yoychal as b'sorei. The Torah says that the ox that killed a person needs to be stoned, and the Pasik says you're not going to eat, you're not allowed to eat the meat. Well, if you're going to stone him, so then the meat is going to be nevele, it wasn't shechted. Why does the Pasik have to say that you stone him and you don't eat the meat? If you stone him, you can't eat the meat automatically because it's not shechted. From the fact that it already says that this ox should be stoned, any edeshi in nevela, don't I know that this would become a nevela, a carcass? It wasn't shechted. Unevela, asura b'achila, it's also b'achila. Why does the pasuk have to say lo yachol? Uma tamud lemu lo yachol is b'sorei. Why does the pasuk have to say not going to eat the meat? The pasuk is actually trying to tell you that if you caught before you stoned the animal, so before it becomes nevela and you shecht it, you still can't eat the meat. If you went quickly and you shechted it, after Bezdin completed the judgment and said that this ox is supposed to be stoned, skila, it's going to be too late. And the osur, you can't shecht it. If you shecht it, it's still going to be osur. That's why the Torah says lo yochel, that there is no way to eat it, even if you're going to shecht it. Not because it's going to be nevela, you're going to be prohibited to eat it. However, this is only after Beis Din concluded his judgment. But v'im ad sheloi nigbar dina higdishu ba'olov, but if they consecrated it, Beis Din did not yet give out the final ruling that the ox should be stoned. So then we don't know that there is really a problem. We don't have it yet concluded the halacha. So therefore, higdishay ba'olov mugdash. So if the owner goes and makes it hegdish, so then it's kodesh. And then what are you going to do with it? But he's still going to stone the ox. So what is it? What is the value that we're saying that it's kodesh? And the difference is because if somebody uses something of hegdish, then there's the din of me'ila over there. Meila means that there's a special halacha when you use Hegdash. So the fact that we're saying that by consecrating it, he becomes Hegdash if it's before the Gemar Din, so that will allow for, if a person should benefit from this animal, then he'll be mauled. So then you have to pay a fifth, and there's the din of me'ila. And the same thing is v'imshchato, if you shechted it before the conclusion of the Beis Din, that you're supposed to stone this ox, the din is that the meat is mutar, because you haven't yet finalized the ruling, so we don't know yet that a sokel is sokel. If you quickly went and shechted, so there's no more ox here, there's no more judgment here, and the meat would be permissible. Final mission of the Perek Dalet, a Mishnah test. What happens if a person has an ox, that gourd, or he passes it, gives it over, he has to leave, he gives it l'shem erchinom to a watchman who watches for free, v'lashoyel, or somebody who wants to borrow, l'noise socher, to someone who collects money for watching it, or l'soicher, a renter who pays to use it. These are all the four different watchmans that are taking the other one's animal into their possession to either watch for free or for pay, or to rent it or use it. But in all of these cases, they take over the responsibility. Nichnesu tachas ha-ba'olim. They go in instead of their owners, and they would have to pay whatever the owner had to pay, because now they have to watch it. If the ox is a mu'ed, Meshalim Nezek Sholem, then he has to pay the Shemrechin, the Shoyl, the Nesoch, the Socher, has to pay a full Nezek, just like the owner. V'tam Meshalim Chatzi Nezek, but if it's a Tam, he'd only pay a half a Nezek. Okay, now the question is, there's different levels of watching. There is something which is called a Shmira Pechusa. It's a lower standard of guarding, which means ordinarily in a common wind it's watched, but if there is a little bit of a storm, not a common wind, it's not watched. And what happens is he only locked it up in the lesser degree, and then the ox went out and gored. Is the person, the watchman, is he responsible? Zog the Mishnah, Keshore ba'olov b'maseiro. They tied it by the rope of the animal, and v'noal b'fonov karoy, and he locked up in front of the animal properly. Properly means just properly, not very good, but enough, karoy. Rashi says v'noal b'fonov karoy, which means bederech sheyichol lelamed beruach metzuya. It's a wind that could withstand a common wind. That's called a shmira pechusa. Behind a shmira pechusa, that's a lower level of shmira. So in that case, v'yotzo v'hizik. So it did go out. That wasn't apparently enough for the ox. He went out, and he did damage v'hizik. So says the Mishnah, Echotam v'echad mu'ed chayiv. It doesn't matter, because you didn't watch it well, you didn't do a shmira me'ula. If you're a tam, the shomer is going to have to pay half a nezek megufay. If it's a mu'ed, he'll have to pay the whole amount, chayiv. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir holds that watching it with a shmira p'chusa isn't sufficient, and you're going to pay the full payment, whether it's a tam and a mu'ed. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says, for a tam, for a mu'ad, for full payment, you're not going to pay even though you did a shmira p'chusa. For a smaller, for the tam, you are going to pay with a shmira p'chusa. So Rabbi Yehuda is lenient. He says you're not going to pay the full payment as long as you watched it. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Tom Chayiv Umuot Potter. A tam has to pay and a mu'ud is exempt. Umuot Potter, Zokt Rashi, Zokt Bar Tanura. When we say a mu'ud is potter, we don't mean he's going to be potter totally. He's going to have to pay that 50% that the tam pays. We're saying by watching it, even with a shmira p'chusa, you're not going to have to pay the full payment, only half a payment. In other words, full payment you only pay if it's a mu'ud. Abul tzad tamus b'mekoymei amedes. The part of tam, the 50%, that you're going to have to pay, because Rabbi Yehuda also agrees that with a shmira p'chusa you pay 50%, the tam. He only disagrees and he says the extra full payment you don't pay if you did a shmira p'chusa. And therefore you'll pay a half a nezek just like a tam. Because the kisiv, why does he make a distinction between the tam and the mu'ad? And why does he say if it's shmira p'chusa exempts you from a mu'ad, why wouldn't it exempt you also from the tam, from the half a payment? Because he says the kisiv v'lo yishmerenu gabe mu'ad. The Torah, when it talks about a mu'ad, that you have to pay the full amount, the Torah says you don't watch it, meaning at all. Ha-shamre koldu, as long as you watched it somewhat, potter mitzad ha-ado, that part of the mu'ad, you don't have to pay. But there is no lo yishmerenu bayatam. So bayatam, because you didn't watch it, a shmira me'ula, only a shmira p'chus, you're going to pay. But Rabbi Yehuda disagrees on a mu'ad. The mu'ad will only pay 50% because as long as you watched it a little bit, you don't pay the full payment. Shenemar, v'lo yishmerenu ba'olof, it doesn't watch him at all, v'shamuruzeh, and this one is watched. Finally, the last sentence in the Mishnah, Rabbi Lezer, Eimer, ein lishmira ela sakir. He doesn't even agree, he says, even a shmira me'ula, which according to the Tanakama, the Rav Meir, would be sufficient. Rav Lezer says no. If we're talking about a mu'ad, the only thing is a knife can guard it, which means you got to shecht him, and then you know that he's not going to do damage. But there's no shmira me'ula, and you're always going to have to pay regardless. So Bar Tanura sums up the Mishnah now. Rav Lezer Eimer ein l'shmira le'mu'ad elo sakin, which means ad shishchoteno, the only thing you can do is shecht it. Sholish machloikis bedover, and there are three arguments in this matter. Le Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Meir, b'shmira p'chusa chayiv. If you did a shmira p'chusa, you'd be chayiv for a tam and a mu'ad. Ubumula pata pater gans. Totally. Le Rabbi Yehuda, b'shmira p'chusa nami pata mitzada bado ashaboy. Iva b'shmira p'chusa. Unlike Rav Meir, who's mechayiv, but he, the mu'ad, the full payment, you're not going to pay even shmira p'chusa. It says v'lo yishmerenu, avol chayiv at tzad tamus sheboy, ad shi yishmerenu shmira me'ula. But still, on the tzad tamus, he agrees with Rabbi Meir that you have to pay for a shmira p'chusa. You'll still have to pay ad shi yishmerenu shmira me'ula. But for the mu'ad, he disagrees. He says that you're not going to pay, even if it was a shmira p'chusa. You're also chayiv by me'ula. V'aloche k'Rabbi Yehuda. The aloche is like Rabbi Yehuda, that for tam you'll be chayiv with a shmira p'chusa, but not for a mu'ad. U'miu l'chatchila mitzvah lishchot shoyr ha'mu'ad k'lisalik ha'ezek. To begin with, the mitzvah is shech the shoyr ha'mu'ad. That way you'll remove the damage and you won't have any issues. Okay.